Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're in part 96 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And we have some letters, we also have some scriptures, and also we're going to have whatever the Lord lays upon my heart by the Holy Spirit. Let's all go to the throne, Father God. I ask that you anoint me outwardly, because I have no idea what it is to say on these tapes ever. Once in a while you give me a hint, but the whole thing is you. Everything that is transmitted from myself into the world must first be transmitted from you into me, and then from me into the world. Lord, I pray that there is troublemakers in this world that are attempting to cause great trouble to the house of the Lord. They say that I'm a cult, but yet they cannot scripturally show me where I am a cult. If they had the love of God in them, they would tell me something that I'm doing that is unscriptural, but they can't. They keep saying that, they keep talking about things and saying that they're unscriptural when indeed they're not. Even if I was doing them, they're not unscriptural. So they're accusing me of doing what you command to do, that it's cultish, and yet they just, I can prove that these things, everything that I do, is from your word and is approved by you, and they cannot bring any valid, absolutely valid accusation against me that is scriptural. They're totally unscriptural, and Lord, show them that they're going to hell in the lake of fire. So put some fear in them. I pray, Lord, that you'll put fear in them, that they will if there's any possibility that they can repent, Lord, let them repent. Open their eyes so that they can see what they're doing is absolutely Antichrist, anti your word. They're disputing with your word, just like the one world government run by the one world cult church, which is Satan's seat is in Rome, and the one world media that the one world church cult Vatican runs. It runs the world government, and it runs the world a medium. As you know, Lord, I'm saying this, I know you know all these things much better than I do, but I'm saying it for the benefit of the hearers, the people that hear on the radio, and those that are readers, that read our website, and the literature that you've given me. So, Lord, I pray that the world out there, the world system, will hear these words, and that they'll come out of the world system into the heavenly system, into the spiritual, the heavenly spiritual realm, rather than the satanic, worldly, spiritual realm of Satan. And that the church will divorce all of the false teachings that they've learned and that they've heard, that they preach, that they become saved, because the time is at hand of your coming back. Things are happening so rapidly now. There's over 50 countries that now have atomic power, and Satan has made all of them extremely angry at the United States, because they believe that if the people of the United States have seen and caused so many wars, but it's actually the Vatican that has caused them to do these things. We know that even Japan was ready to surrender, and they were begging to surrender, but Truman did not listen to their plea to surrender, nor did Russia, and therefore we bombed them. Of course, vengeance-wise, we say Well, it's good that we blew those innocent men, women, and children to pieces, because they blew our boys to pieces in Pearl Harbor. But they killed 3,000 of our people, 3,000 to 4,000, and we murdered hundreds of thousands of people there. Millions were destroyed there when they were begging for forgiveness and asking to surrender. This was all brought out on the History Channel, and it showed the people of Japan wanting to surrender, and it showed them pleading with Russia to be a mediator between Japan and the United States. And Russia thought, no, we don't want the United States to take over Japan. We want to take it over. So Russia knew their weaknesses. Truman knew their weaknesses. And Russia went in trying to take Japan over because they know they were ready to give up. And Truman says, no, we don't want Russia taking it over, so we're going to show that we have the greatest power. We'll bomb them with the atomic bomb. And we'll frighten the whole world that we're the superpower. And did it. And the poor Japanese, you say poor Japanese, they killed your brother, your uncle, your sister, your dad. I know, they were not poor, and you say that we're not poor. Even after we, the people that are supposed to be United States citizens and the United States Army, went and killed the people at Waco and the World Trade Center and the administration. It's a well-known fact. Most of the people in the United States believe that. So, Father, we ask that people, that these things continuously get exposed, because this is a way to bind Satan, you said, is to expose Satan. A lot of people say, why are you talking about government? Because the Bible does. It tells about the governmental powers that would be in line. It is always told from the one country after another, politically, why they were bombing each other, why they were destroying each other, why they were fighting each other. And therefore, we are to preach the whole Bible. We're not to be involved with the things of the world, but we're to expose them, to show the people how that they've been suckered in to being involved in secular government, and keep the secular government keeps them busy and their minds diverted, Father, from your word, so that they'll go to hell. They won't know when they're hearing the actual truth. The world has been made to believe that the people of the Lord are stupid and that we're corny and that we don't know what's going on. And that the secular people that don't have any wisdom, knowledge, or understanding of the spiritual realm, where they're really going to wind up in the long life, where the forevermore life, they're going to either wind up in forevermore in heaven or forevermore in hell in the lake of fire. And this is why you tell us to expose the things that have happened down through history. And your word exposes all the different kingdoms and the kingdom that is today, the one world government. It's the first time there's ever been a government that rules the entire earth. And you stated that this rulership would be from Rome. You state in your word that Rome, the city of the seven hills or mountains, is the city that is Satan's seat. And you say that this is a big church, a cult. And that you say that these people, these Roman Catholic hierarchy, would be ruling the one world government. And that this satanic force would have a voice. And that voice to brainwash, to destroy people, is to lie about them and to make people that are good look evil. And to make evil people seem to look good. And people should read the Bible so that they can see these things, so that they're able to discern from your word the structure of the end of time, the way it would be as you said, so they can know how close it is before you ascend back to Earth, or descend back to Earth. You ascended up, and the angel said that this same Jesus will come back again, will descend from the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord tells us, what if you see these angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? They did at his tomb and in other places in the Word of God. Father God, I say these things to bind this satanic force that's on earth. You stated that your two witnesses would stand before the God of this earth, and you explained that the God of this earth is Satan, the God of this world system that we're living in today. Now we're here, and it's here, and we're in it, but we're not a part of it. You said that we are not to be a part of the world system. We're not to help destroy the people of this earth, and to help, and that means that we're not to help the secular world power, because you actually created heaven and the earth, but you did not create the world system. And Lord, you created the entire world and everything in it, and you said that it was good. Even man, you said you created man in your likeness and image, and it was good, and we were good. But you told us that we wouldn't be good if we disobeyed you. You told us that if our first parents would eat or touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they and their offspring, which we are, would surely die, and that our souls would die. We're dead. Our souls are dead in sins and trespasses. But you, and that we must have a Redeemer, somebody to save us from going to hell, and save us so that we can spend eternity, which is forever, in the kingdom of heaven, and to save us from an eternity in the lake of fire, which burns forever, and we would live in torments forever by disbelieving your word. And so from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelations, you tell of how that you created us and gave power to us over the world. We were to rule the world according to your word, but Eve listened to Satan and and she believed Satan, and therefore all that you had created, except the earth, you had to curse the earth on several that time, and then you cursed the earth when you flooded it. So the earth has been cursed twice, and it's not nearly as beautiful as it used to be. It was like heaven here on earth when you first created it. And now you, by us listening, by our mother listening to Satan, she allowed Satan to take over the world, the world system. And that's why we see the corruption in the world that we see today, because Satan is the destroyer. He's a cruel taskmaster. He's a liar and the father of it. And his purpose is to kill, to steal, to destroy. He wants to destroy and steal your souls. Now, God has given us this second chance. Father, you've given us this second chance through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You, Father, which the Father is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, came to earth in a man named Jesus. And you went to the cross with this man, Jesus, because he kept all of your commandments. And because nobody else did throughout history, including Adam and Eve, Yet salvation can only be found in the only one that never disobeyed you. So we must be in Jesus. If we're in Jesus, then we have an advocate through him. He's the greatest attorney in the entire universe. And because we are washed in his blood in order to be saved from our former sins, and because of the power that you put in us after we're saved, we now have the power in us to be able to do all things, to keep all your commandments, and to be more than conquerors in you. Therefore, Lord God, we, by virtue of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in us, we have now taken control or authority over this earth. And the kingdom of heaven is within us, and you've called us to bring about salvation by preaching the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are still unsaved on this earth. And you've caused us also, you've given us a commandment, a commission, to preach the gospel to edify the church because they've been taught so many false things. Now the enemy of our soul, Satan, the one that caused the entire human race to fall and caused you to have to come to earth as a man to reconcile ourselves unto you. And because of this, we are told that we must, you said you created everything in 6 days, and then after that you rested from all your work. So even the work of salvation was done in the 7 days. And now it's up to us. Because in order for us to be reconciled back to you, we have to come to you and humble ourselves before you at the cross where you died for our sins. And we must humble ourselves before you at the cross so that your spirit can enter into us and that you can resurrect our dead soul from its death unto life and give us the power so that we can remain this way until the time of our death, our physical death here. And then in that manner is how, by your power in us, and the forgiveness of all of our former sins, and because we don't sin anymore, because now we have the same power in us that Jesus had when he was here on earth. Jesus, this man, had that same power, and he had human blood in him just as we do. And he had no advantage more than us after we're saved. Now, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit, and we weren't all of our lives until we come to you to receive the Holy Spirit, the same power Jesus had. And then Jesus said that greater things would we do if we have the same Spirit living in us as he had living in himself at the time of his departure. And he was able, by the power in him, to go to hell and spend 3 days and three nights there, and then has to go to his grave. And then after that, he's the only one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He came out of that grave a conqueror. And he then was seen by the apostles and the brethren for 40 days. And after this, he gave them a commission, as you give to us, to preach the gospel, the truth. Nothing but the truth. And that means the word of God and no private interpretation. This means that we have to divorce ourselves from all these Bibles today, these government Bibles that say they are the authority. This is Satan lying to you. Satan, you liar. Oh, Father God, I pray that you bind all these satanic powers on earth and those that are saying that the things that I'm preaching are false. They call me a cult, but they never show that I am a cult. They can't show any scripture and verse that I preach other than your word. They can't show anything other than that I'm preaching the word of God. And it's because of your word, Lord, that they say I'm a cult. Lord, do unto them as you did Ananias and Sapphira. Drop them, Father God, because they're not calling me a cult. They're calling you a cult because I'm preaching your word. The things that I'm doing in your word, Father, are in this world are the things that you approve in your word. And you actually command some to do this. You tell people that are parents that love their children that they chasten them. But they live according to that satanic Dr. Spock, who tells them, just let your children run crazy and wild. But Lord, this is Antichrist. And anyone that's preaching that I'm not supposed to preach what I preach, they're against your word, Lord, because I'm preaching your pure, undefiled word. Lord, reward them for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Reward them, Father God, and let the people that hear my voice, let them pick up their Bibles to see whether I be a cult or not. The people of this world don't know what a cult is. They don't know who you are. They don't know what your commandments are. They don't know that they need to keep your commandments, to read what they are, and then do them in order to be saved from hell and the lake of fire for an eternity. The tortures of hell, the torments of hell. And they will not do this because they think that the things of this world are more important than to read your word and obey it, that they may have eternal life in heaven. Lord, I pray that you reveal these things that you just revealed through me now, and whatever else it is that you want to reveal unto the listening audience and the people that listen to the website that you've given me. Lord, I pray that you will show them everything that they need to be saved and show them the scripture that says that they must continue on in well-doing, in your word and in the spirit to the end, and they shall be saved. Now, even though some people make mistakes, not sin, but mistakes, we're still considered perfect if we walk, if we live by your spirit, if we allow your spirit to continue to abide in us, and this is how we allow it, is to keep reading your word and praying without ceasing to you. This is how we are able to continue on to the end. Those who continue on to the end shall be saved, not those that go to church once or twice a week, or even seven times a week, or eight times, or 100 times a week. But those that continue walking in your spirit are perfect. This is chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore there is no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Lord, I ask that you show all these things to everyone on the earth, so they will never be able to stand before you and accuse you that they had never heard the gospel before, that they had never heard the truth before. Lord, I pray that the church is lifted up and that souls are saved now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, where's your first letter from?
Mexico.
Okay, what do they have to say?
Beloved Brother Alamo, with much joy in my soul, I would like to let you know that I have received an abundance of gospel materials from you. I have received copies of The Messiah and copies of various newsletters that you publish. With all my love, I will distribute it to my community.
And you will be handsomely rewarded by the Lord if you continue doing this to the end of your life. Okay, then what?
In Salvatierra, there is great hunger to know the living God, the creator of all that exists.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then what?
My words cannot be reached to show the manifestation of my gratitude, and above all, I thank God for raising ministries like Pastor Alamo.
And I thank God for raising ministries like yours, because we're just one part of the vast Church of God, which is all those of you that are in his body and that you've allowed him to live in your bodies, which are no longer your body or my body, but it belongs to the Lord because he bought us. He purchased us by shedding his precious blood and his life on the cross at Calvary, and he went to hell for us and raised from death, hell and the grave, and he conquered sin, Satan, the flesh, and all the lusts of the world, and in him you are complete. He conquered all these things so that we could see these things that he had done. And he tells us plainly that if the Spirit, the same Spirit that was dwelling in him, that raised him from the dead, is in us at the time of our death, then he will also raise us up from the dead and into the kingdom of heaven on the last day. So this is a marvelous thing. Amen?
Amen.
And we rejoice at letters like yours, brother, because we know that you are a part of the Lord and a part of us. We're all a part of the Lord. And I thank and praise the Lord for you. And all the others like yourself that we get so many letters from. And all this communication. And it's uplifting to us. And it makes us rejoice that we have uplifted you. That the Lord has uplifted you through us. Praise the Lord. Then what?
May God keep strengthening you so that you will be able to proclaim the news of salvation to the whole world. Sincerely, Brother Ricardo from Guanajuato, Mexico.
Well, the same goes for you, brother. God strengthen you. And I know that he hears and answers our prayers. And I know that you are strengthened now. In Jesus' name. Anyway, where's the next letter from?
From Africa, the Ivory Coast.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hello, very dear Pastor Tony Alamo. It is with immense joy and pleasure that I greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I also send my greetings to your family, as well as your team of soul winners, of which I am presently a member. In this new year, I wish my best for peace, joy, prosperity, and continuity in the ministry to which you have been called. I address all my thanks to you for the packages that you sent me. Your books and literature have done so much good to those who received them and myself.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to receive them unless it was through you, brother. And God bless you, and I know he is very much. And then what?
Your world newsletter was snapped up like little loaves of bread, and people are looking for more of them.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
I have even taken some pictures to testify of this so that we might share this joy of distributing the Alamo Christian World newsletters together. I now want to become one of your representatives here in the Ivory Coast, and more specifically, in the region of Agbaville. I also want to be an associate pastor of the Alamo Christian Ministries.
I can see that you already are, brother. Praise the Lord. This is the segment of the house of the Lord, the body of Christ, and I already know you're in there, so we're together, brother. Then what else?
There are refugees here because of the war that we have been going through for the last 4 years. The people who have accepted the Lord and prisoners do not have the means to get a Bible.
Well, wish you're sending one. Then what else?
That's why I'm beseeching you by the Lord's mercy to send me 200 French Bibles, 200 of your Messiah books, and 4 King James Version Bibles for me and my co-workers.
Okay, let's get all that to them immediately, if we haven't already. Then what?
I want you to send me musical videos and your tape-recorded messages on cassette because your teachings are very powerful.
Praise the Lord. That's from the Lord. Of course it's powerful. Then what?
I have found real truth in the words in your literature, which has done me enormous good and has changed my life as well as those who have received it.
Praise the Lord.
I bless the Lord for the work he is accomplishing through you.
And I praise and thank the Lord for the work that he's accomplishing through you. This is something, 200 Bibles, and all these Bibles, just the French Bibles alone, 200, right? 200
yes.
Messiah books, and how many? And then as many other ones as he wants. Okay, then what else?
May God grant you long life on this earth, strengthen you, and help you through his triumphant righteousness. I have a need for my region, as you have asked in the newsletter that I have gotten, for 3,000 copies of your French Alamo newsletters and 500 copies in the following languages: English, German, Arabic, Spanish, Chinese, and Japanese.
We have them all, so make sure they get them right away. And what else?
I have a brother who is living with me who can help you with the translation of the audio cassette tapes, which have the teachings from the Bible and the messages that the Lord himself has transmitted.
Praise the Lord.
Here is my size, extra large, and my co-workers, 2X, 3X, large, and extra large.
Get all these things in right away. All these things right away. Anyway.
Thank you for everything that you are doing for the advancement of the work of God here.
Thank you also. Then what?
So long and God bless you, your brother in the Lord, Evangelist Yoruba from the Ivory Coast, Africa.
Praise the Lord, brother. Then you have another letter?
Yes, from Pakistan.
Pakistan. What a bunch of beautiful people. Those people from India, Africa, and Pakistan. We were just looking at the pictures, all these children and standing there with the T-shirts on and there, and the adults with them holding up the different literature, some of the different literature that I've written and that they're distributing, and they've got bags full of it. It's just really heartening to see this. Okay, let me hear what they say. They're beautiful people. Each one of them, they look like movie stars, everyone, even the little kids. All right, then what?
It's Reverend Dan. God bless you, Pastor Lamo.
God bless you as well, Dan.
In the name of Almighty God, who is the greatest of all, the literature is currently being distributed in the Healing Crusade, in which about 1,000 literature newsletters have been given to the people. I'm sending you the pictures of the distribution and meeting. Please also send me the book, The Messiah. I want to distribute it in different schools and other public places. Me and my fellow pastors are doing it day and night, only for the glory of God.
Amen.
Please send me a good amount of more literature, and also on a regular basis, that I can carry on the work of God. Yours in Christ, Reverend Dan from Faisalabad, Pakistan.
Send them at least 5,000 pieces of literature and send them at least 100 Messiah books. And what else? And some T-shirts that they need. All right?
Okay.
And Bibles, whatever they might they need. All right?
Okay.
Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Let's read some Bible here. We'll start. We were at the 4th chapter of Hebrews yesterday. And we also read some from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, talking about all these different great men of God. There's such controversy about the things that they did. Okay, so let's begin at... what verse were we on at chapter 11? We talked about Moses.
12.
And we talked about Abraham. And how that they had many wives. Because the reason I'm preaching this is because it happens, the Lord has called me to preach the Bible. And if I was preaching for a long time, you know, for people that really believe in being eunuchs that they are, or being celibate. There's several people in our church that are celibate. The men, they don't want to be married. Because the Bible states that in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's not good to touch a woman. Amen?
Amen.
But in the case, you know, if you are a person that cannot control yourself, it's better to marry than it is to burn. And some people in these false government Bibles have said burn in lust, but it's not that. It means burn in hell. It's better that you don't, that you're not a fornicator, and that you're going around and fornicating all day, all the time, or committing adultery. But it's better for you to have your own wife, and women, that you have your own husband. Because if it goes any other way, you will burn, not with lust, but because of the lust, you will definitely commit adultery. And the Bible states that a person that commits adultery or fornication or sins, that they destroy, if you commit adultery, you destroy your own soul, your own body. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why I like to preach that. And then it just amazed me. For 3 years, I was reading the Bible diligently to find out if God really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is, okay, because here it is in the New Testament, and the Lord is not condemning Moses for having three wives, or Abraham, the father of faith that had many wives, not condemning them at all. So there's no condemnation to those that serve God, and that God has called and given these wives to, as He did David. And so I'm not saying this for everybody, but the Lord evidently has told some men that they should have several wives. I don't believe that it's that there's some religions that have many wives and yet they don't keep the commandments of the Lord. So even though they believe that part of the Bible, if they don't keep the commandments, they're still going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
But not for polygamy. Because, and said, I know you people out in the world have been brainwashed, but either you believe the Word of God or you believe the government. You have to make a choice whether you believe God or Satan. Now here's all these people in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that God is, like many pastors or preachers or teachers call it, the hall of what?
Faith.
The house of faith rather than the house of hall of fame. This is the hall of faith. Abraham believed God, and he's called the father of faith all throughout the Bible. All right, and so let's continue on with, let's do a little bit of chapter 11.
Verse 12. Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number.
Now see, the body of Christ is also the bride of Christ, the wife of Christ. So some people say that God never had a wife. He never had a wife that he lived with and that he committed sexual intercourse with. That never happened. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. The truth is that he never did. But his wife, he begets his wives by him living in them. And Christ has his wife is a corporate body of millions of people. So you could say that Christ is a polygamist, because his wife is composed of millions of bodies, millions of men and women. Amen?
Amen.
But are faithful. And how does the marriage, how is it consummated? It's consummated by his spirit entering into them. Just now, a man and wife, when they're married, the man enters into the woman sexually. But when the Lord gets married to people here on earth, and we become the members or the children of the bride chamber, and then for 1,000 years there's a marriage supper of the Lamb after we are with the Lord again. And when His Spirit enters us, that is marriage. It circumcises our heart, and He enters into us in a covenant, a marriage covenant. And when a man gets married to a woman, he breaks into her, and it's a blood covenant. Amen? And that's why the Apostle Paul likens the being one with the Lord, or being married to the Lord, the same as it is when you get married to a woman. Is that when you make that marriage covenant with him, if you're a woman, or with her, it's unbreakable. Because if you divorce, the Lord hates divorce, but He honors marriage all the way. And people don't honor what the Lord says, though. The government does not honor marriage. They penalize you if you're married. They give you higher taxes if you're married. And the Bible tells us, the Word of God, the truth tells us that this is doctrines of devils. So if this, when you see these things that the government, under the control of the Vatican, when you see the things that they're doing in the media, and they're contrary to the Word of God, you know it's Satan's government. It's Satan's church, government, and media. Okay, so now let's read some more here.
Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
Now what this is talking about is Abraham was beyond the age of having children. And so was Sarah. But they had, the Lord says that he had, would have more children than anyone else in the world, because through his seed would eventually come Christ. He was the father of faith. And Christ would come first to the Jews, and then after this he would allow every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every color of person come unto him for salvation. And he could give them, he would give them if they come to him, if complete salvation and escape from hell, death, hell, and the grave, and eternity in the lake of fire. But they'd have to continue on walking in their his spirit, allowing him to live in them, because he paid for them, and he sacrificed his body for them, and therefore we're to sacrifice our body to let him live in there and do his work. And as God ended all of his works in 6 days, when we come to the Lord, we are to end our works right there, right then and there, and let him live out his life, that is, for him to represent himself in and through us from that day forth to the end. And if we do, his spirit has been living in us, and that means that we're going to be raised, resurrected from the second death, or from the grave, the spirit of God in us, not the second death, but the but the people that are cast into hell in the lake of fire, that is the second death for them. And they die forever, but in torment, and they never are able to actually pass out. They're never able to stop working. They're just like in a slave labor camp. Those that said that the people that are Christians are in a slave labor camp, or that they've been hypnotized, or that they're of the devil, you people have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wants you to know that. And you're never going to be forgiven here on earth or in the world to come. So just know that the Lord's going to come and get you. Some angel or the Lord's going to call your name, and that's it. You will not be able to stay 1 second longer on this earth, and you will be locked away forever in hell in the lake of fire. Okay, go ahead.
All these died in faith without receiving the promises.
See, they never got, these people died in faith. In other words, they had the Spirit of God. They believed his word is spirit and life. So they held fast the confession of their faith. They held fast the word of God within their mortal minds, in their bodies. And so that they never saw the promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they, in faith, they saw afar off that he was definitely going to come, and that he, through him, he was the Savior. And because of the fact that they believed that he was coming in the Old Testament told them that Jesus coming, the Messiah coming, from the very first and second chapter of the book of Genesis, all the way, and then all the animal sacrifices were symbolic. When man sinned, they had to give animal sacrifices to prove that they believed that the Messiah was coming to the world. And that's why Abel would always sacrifice a lamb and shed the blood of a lamb to say, Lord, this is one of the perfect lambs of my flock, and I'm giving him as a sacrifice to you to show my faith that you definitely are coming, and you're going to shed your blood for the forgiveness of the sins of the entire world. And then Cain didn't give a sacrifice that had the virtue of blood in it. He gave turnips and beets and rutabagas and carrots and broccoli and cauliflower and celery and things like that on the altar, and it infuriated the Lord because he was not honoring God that was going to come in the flesh. He didn't give the symbol of salvation and the blood of Jesus, the great sacrifice of God coming to earth in a man. It's so good. Made a vagabond out of him and put a mark on him. He marked him for eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And he knew it, and it grieved Cain that he knew he's going to hell. And all you people out there that like to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and bring accusations against the Church of God and true preachers of the Lord, and you're saying they're a cult, but you don't give any valid reason why they are a cult. You can't. You are liars, and you're part of the Antichrist. And it's just so sad because you've been preached to hundreds of messages before and you didn't believe it. Now, if you did these things in ignorance, then there is a possibility that you can be forgiven. But you better get on your hands and knees to the Lord and get a hold of him. Because if you don't, there's no forgiveness for you. Because you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by saying that people of the Lord that have the Spirit of God in them, and that they're washed from their old former sins and they're not sinning anymore. You're saying that they're of the devil. You know, you're the ones that are of the devil, according to God's word. Read the word and you'll see that you're on your way to hell. Okay, read it. Just don't believe me. Read it for yourselves. The Lord commands you people in the world to read the word of God so that you can know the difference between somebody that's telling you the truth and somebody that's lying to you, like the World Council of Churches, which is a cult, a headquartered in Rome, Satan's seat, and so that you know the difference between the government that it controls and the voice of Satan, the media. Okay, there's a panda bear that was just born in the zoo in San Diego. Everybody, oh, isn't that important, this panda bear? You'll be sorry that you ever looked at such nonsense as this. Panda bears were living very well in the world before, and they were, having sexual relationships and bearing children, bearing their little bears without you, and without us knowing about these silly women on TV have this smile. And just after they just got through saying that about 100 people got killed, and so on and so on, and they're smiling while they're even saying that. What a bunch of phonies. And they condone the murder of the people at Waco and the World Trade Center, and before that at the federal building. I think it's wrong to kill. It is against God's commandments to kill government agents, even though you know that they did these things. I mean, they need to repent. We're supposed to preach. We have to preach the gospel to them. We're not ordained to burn them at the stake like the Catholics do, or to blow them up like the media says you should, or somebody like these Mormons and other people that are doing this, having many wives. That's not worthy of you killing them, because you're doing as many evil things and even more than they are. You're bumming and murdering people, you phonies. Amen?
Amen.
They're living peaceably by themselves. You don't dishonor homosexuals, but you dishonor people that want to be married, which the Bible does not condemn. But the Bible does condemn homosexuals. That's why I say to all you homosexuals, get saved. Be born again. Because you say you were born a homosexual, then you need to be born again of the Spirit, okay? And then you'll love the Lord, and then you'll serve him instead of your filthy selves. Okay, then what?
All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own.
Right, because so they were saved. They were seeking the kingdom of heaven. This world had no pull on them. They weren't interested in this. They died willingly. And so they're better than you. Because they believed that the Lord was coming to the earth. Okay, then what else?
And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is...
Just like people come into this church, anybody that doesn't want to be here, nobody's holding any slaves over here. We have churches all over the world. I have no control over them. I don't want any control. I want them to want to serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. If they want to leave, let them leave. I buy the tickets for them. Why would I want to hold somebody against their will? You people that believe that garbage that the world media is putting out in the government and the Antichrist regime, the whole world system, you people are stupid. Okay? How could I hold anybody? We don't have one compound someplace. Our houses and everything, the churches are everywhere in the world. Okay? Wise up. Wake up and die right. Okay, one of these days you're going to stand before the Lord and say, oh my God, I was alive at one time. You're living in a ether, a gas. You're like, a vegetable. Wake up! Okay, what else?
But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one.
Amen.
Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Yes, the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son.
Yeah, and he had many wives, okay? And God honored him right here, even in the New Testament. You say, well, that was the Old Testament. Here it is in the New Testament, and he's not condemning him. He's exalting Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's honoring Moses. Okay, go ahead.
It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type.
Right, he only resurrects them from the dead that are saved, that have the same spirit of God in them that Jesus had in him. The rest of you are out. Not out of luck. You chose to be out of luck. You chose to condemn for your soul to be condemned to hell. Okay, then what?
By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By
and
faith
Jacob had several wives. Amen.
Amen.
And God called him a prince and changed his name, Jacob's name, to Israel. And that's why God is going to honor Israel by Ed. The whole world army is going to go against Israel, and God's going to destroy every single one of them. And Israel is going to hire people from different nations, all nations, to take those bones of these wicked people that decided to follow the Antichrist government and go over there and try to put them to death. They're the ones that are going to be put to death, and their souls are going to spend eternity, I mean, forever, in the lake of fire and hell. Okay, then what?
By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff.
Okay.
By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones.
And the Lord actually commands people to be polygamous in the Bible by the Levirate law. You people ought to read the Bible. The government is making you hate people that are of the Lord, that are not doing any sinful thing at all. And they're hiding here on earth because of how evil you are. You're the evil ones. You're the ones that are possessed with the devil. Now, even though I'm not, if I'm not a celibate person, I'm married. But if I were a polygamist, according to God, there's nothing wrong with that. If I was spanking my child, if they did wrong, I've never spanked my daughter. Never. And my two boys, I have spanked them a couple of times, and they wised up. And I just thank and praise the Lord that they are of the Lord. And I've had former marriages before, and I have children from them that no longer live with me. But I don't believe in the Lord. And back then when I got divorced from the wives, I didn't believe in the Lord either. All right, I see my time is up, and just do a couple more verses here.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents.
So Moses, a polygamist. Then what?
Because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Yeah, he refused to be part of the one world government back then. And if you're of the Lord, then read the rest of it.
Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin.
Yeah, I would rather be persecuted than to receive the world system like you people do. Well, my time is up. Now, if you want to be of the world, well, stay there. But if you want to be of the kingdom of heaven, of the heavenly kingdom, then say this prayer before the Lord. If you want the living God by the Spirit, Christ by the Spirit, with the Father, to enter you, then say this prayer. Say to God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise in your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of this program 198. Please mention whether you want a audio tape or a CD. And all postage is all free, and the postage and handling is free. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Now, we're reading from chapter 11 today, and we're going to continue with that, and then we're going to go with to other scriptures to show you all the different patriarchs that were doing the same things that the people at the Mormon church are doing. I'm not a Mormon, and I don't believe in all their doctrine by any means. But what they're doing is, and I don't know whether they're married because of that God ordered them to do it or not, but if God orders you to do something, you better do it. And make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 97 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And don't condemn me for being controversial. The true word of God today is controversial because it's totally against the world Antichrist system, the Vatican, Buddhism, Judaism that actually renounces Christ, and all the other isms in this world. Hinduism, your grandfather is one of those cows over in India. That's Hinduism, Shintoism, and everything else. Tune in tomorrow. God bless you. Praise the Lord.